had the opportunity to go up to the mountains this past week and spend some time with Howard and Michelle and just do some relaxing, walking around, saw the beauty of God's nature. Margie and I were sitting in the pools, well, outside of the pool, there's like an outdoor hot tub, and we were just sitting there actually trying to get my leg muscles to go back down from all the walking and stuff. But Margie's like, and I'm like, it's just leaves in there. And she's like, and I'm like, what? Two words? Sounds like it's a bear? What? And I turn around, there's a black bear just right behind me, just kind of looking like, hey, you want to take my picture? And I'm like, yeah, actually I do. Anyway, I figured it's not the mountains. It's just not paying attention to the news that's making me more just calm. You know, I see things that we're getting ready to celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Never forget, you know, and it's like the lives that were lost. And yes, it was a horrible situation. But if you get caught up into that, all of a sudden we're angry about everything. We're angry about what's going on in Afghanistan. We're angry about what's going on in Haiti. We're angry about all of these things. We're angry about what the government's doing. We're angry, you know, Biden is this, you know, or no, Biden is our savior. And all of a sudden we're back in this knot. And we put our faith and put our hope in men. And I started thinking about that today because, you know, I'm, what, 61 years old. I got new glasses. I got ADD. Y'all know all of my problems. But some people, especially young people, probably think, well, you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on, what we have to put up with. It's like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, because I put up with the same thing. I may be 61 in this body, but I'm probably 15 or 16 in my mind. I mean, you can ask my mother and my wife, who will tell you, I wish Paul would grow up, or at least let us know what he wants to do when he grows up. But I say all that because as I start to dig into the scriptures today, again, I'm speaking to me. But I'm going to be speaking some truths that Jesus said long, long time ago. And it's not just some old guy that wants to share some news that was written a long time ago. It's somebody that's pretty smart about what's going on in the world today, who knows if you're being, you know, if we're living a life or if we're you know, just lying to ourselves, okay? And again, I'm preaching to me, so if you hear something in here and you say, ooh, you're stepping on my toes, I don't even care about your toes. It's my toes that I'm stepping on today. I'm going to be in the book of John, chapter 14, so if you would look with me to chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 15 through 17. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is what it says. Now, Jesus, I have a little, in my book, I have this little headline going into verse 15. It says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. But I want us to see what Jesus says here. He says this in verse 15. If, and that's, you can circle that, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. So before he sends the Holy Spirit, he's saying, listen, guys, if you love me, you will do what I've asked. You will do what I told you to. You will keep my commandments. And then he says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now the helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to help us live to those commandments, right? Then he says this, even the Spirit of truth, listen to this, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So I wanted to start off with this. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? There was that song, there is a song I love to sing. I sing it every something. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest sound on earth. There's a reason I'm singing it. Oh, how I love Jesus, right? So, oh, how I love Jesus. We say that, we think that, we believe that, but do we really love Jesus? Jesus says in verse 15 again, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. In other words, you will do what I've asked you to do. One evening before his crucifixion, he's in the room with the disciples, and he says, one of you will betray me, and Judas gets up and leaves. And the other disciples still have no idea. They're thinking like, oh, Judas is the money keeper. He's going to go out and make some other arrangements. They have no idea. And that's when Jesus looks at them and says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The unmistakable meaning of this passage is that we are to be obedient to God's commandments. It's a sign, it's a test of our love for Him. And this connection of Christ and obedience to Him is a recurring theme all the way through the book of John. For example, in 1 John, in his letter, he says this in chapter 5. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. There it is again. John is emphasizing the fact, if we say we love Jesus, we're going to hold to our vows. God, You are wonderful. You are Creator. And through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have made a way for me to be reconciled to You. And so I give my life to Jesus, and He is my Lord, my Savior, and my Master, and I'm going to live for Him, kind of. See, it just doesn't have the same kind of punch. You know, Margie, do you take Paul to be your lawfully wedded husband? Yeah, I sure do. Paul, do you promise to love and to respect and goodness and sickness and health and all of that other stuff, right? And it's like, yes, I do, until the next best thing comes along. What kind of vow is that? If I want to show my love to Margie, then I show my love to Margie by staying true to the vows that I made when we were married. I take you to be my wife, and because of that, we are going to live as one. I love you like Christ loved the church. You love me and respect me, and our family grows. Not until something better happens, not until you really make me mad, not until, Paul, you bought the fourth guitar. Why do you need four guitars? Because I'm giving them away, is why I needed the fourth guitar. But Jesus is saying the same thing. If you love me, you're going to do what you promised, and you're going to obey my commands. That's how you show that you love me, right? But another thing John says in this verse that Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. That's number one. And I will ask the Father to give you a helper who will be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You're going to be able to discern what's right from wrong. And you know you can, because when you do something that's wrong, you start to feel guilty about it immediately, don't you? Yeah, the first time, and maybe the second time, maybe the third time, but then it starts to get easier. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to make a commitment to God. God, you know, in your book you said don't give up meeting like others are apt to do, but you know what? It sure is pretty out there. I could get a good golf time this morning. You know, this is a holiday weekend. I got people coming in. You know, in other words, I will give you what you ask for, but not everything. And so we scratch our heads and say, like, do we love Jesus? So what is this Spirit of truth in verse 16 and 17? And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom, listen to this, the world cannot receive. Why? Because it doesn't see truth and it doesn't know truth. When we look to the world to be our example, oh yeah, we're going to compromise and do everything that the world says. The world doesn't know what's true and what's false. For example, this sounds crazy in our world today, what's going on in our world today, but it's not new. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 5 says this, woe to all who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, woe to those that are saying, like, yeah, it's okay to do this. Yeah, it's okay to do this. What does the world say? Well, we say, well, times have changed, Paul. The Bible was written thousands of years ago. If Jesus were here, you know, He'd be different. It'd be a whole different message. No, God doesn't change. And it's important that God doesn't change, because God made some great promises. And if God changes, then maybe those promises won't come true. You know, when Howard was praying, he says the promises are yes and amen. Amen means so be it. That's the stamp on it. Yes. I said it. Ow. By the way. And so what are you going to say? Oh, well, the times change. God's got to change with it. Time's got to change. God's standards do not change. And here's the thing. The sin that once amused us, or once amazed us, I can't believe they're doing that. Now it amuses us. Now we turn on the television, and now there's sexual scenes, and now there's drug scenes, and now there's all these things going on, which before we would have went like, oh. And now we just say like, ah, oh, it's just normal. Oh, yeah, every movie's got to end with at least two guys kissing. Every movie's got to end with a dog. Every movie's got to end with whatever. Because we're used to that. What used to amaze us now amuses us. And for those of you who doubt that this is happening, look at what the world promotes. The world says, go ahead and cheat on your spouse. Everybody does. Everybody does. Have one of those office romances. Because, you know, your spouse is. But the truth is this, in Proverbs 6:32, whoever commits adultery destroys his own soul. See, what was once like, oh man, I can't believe you're cheating on your spouse. Now it's like, everybody does it. That's what the world says, but the world doesn't know the truth. The world says, go out and have sex before marriage. In fact, go and experiment with same-sex partners so that you can kind of see who you are gender-wise, right? But the truth is, in Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed should be undefiled, but fornicators, and that's people that just have promiscuous sex all the time, God will judge. See, the world's truth and God's truth are completely different. But Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. The world says, you know what? There's many different genders. It's really how you feel and how you identify. And it's all up to you. Don't let people put you in a box. Don't let people label you. But the truth is, in Matthew 19, and this comes from Genesis 1:26, Jesus, he answered them, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Two genders. And then people will argue, no, that's two sexes, male and female. And you could be a male sex, but gender-wise, you could be whatever you want to identify as. That's the world's truth. That is not God's truth. The world says, you know what? Abort your mistakes. After all, it's only a fetus, and you're just a fetal carrier. That's not even a baby. It's a clump of cells. And yet, the truth is, in Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139 says this, God formed my inward parts. He knit me together in my mother's womb. Clearly, life begins at conception. The world is different than God's truth. The world says, go out, eat, drink, be merry, and party all you want. But the truth is, in Luke, it says, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day, and that's when Jesus comes back, will come on you unexpectedly. The world says, cut corners and lie, fight your way to the top. It doesn't matter. Step on people. Just use people. Do whatever you can to get ahead, right? But the truth is, found in Proverbs, the integrity of the upright will guide them. Proverbs again says this, such is the fate of all who are greedy for gain, it ends up robbing them of life. Margie and I went to Home Depot yesterday just to pick up some things, and I had to pick up a battery for a drill, and they're all locked up. And if you ever go to Home Depot and Lowe's, you can't get anybody to come and open anything. So what you have to do is like start banging on it, like this, like, I can't open it, I can't open it. And then all of a sudden someone comes around, what are you trying to do? So anyway, this guy comes and he opens it and he preaches to me and Margie for like 20 minutes. And I'm standing there in shorts and a dirty, sweaty t-shirt and I'm going like this, like, you know, should I just give the guy an offering and leave? But the guy was making great sense. He was talking about how the world is just, how we're completely upside down. There's no respect anymore. There's no one is following what God says. Everybody is following their own way. And that's what the scripture says. In those last days, people will do what is right in their eyes. Culture, this is what Shane Eidelman says. He's a pastor that Sandra and I kind of follow out in California. He says this, the culture around us simply reflects who and what we value, how we dress, what we watch, and how we spend our time. I think about it. I was watching college football yesterday, and as I'm watching, man, there were some great commercials. I loved the one with Wonder Woman and Williams. Serena, I mean, awesome. I mean, it's like, man, it's a great commercial. And then there was another one that was really great. But then there's one that Facebook Groups is coming out. Hey, just pick a group. and become part of this following in whatever road they want to take you down. And I just sat there and scratched my head on that one. It's like crazy. The world, but that's the culture around us. That's the truth of the world, but the world doesn't know the truth. It can't receive the truth. It's just grasping at straws. And what's true for the culture today, the culture as a whole, it's not its fault. The culture just simply is this, some people get together, start a majority movement of something, and then that becomes the truth for everybody. And so what's true today won't be true tomorrow, but yet God's truth remains. It's the same. Sin and disobedience, first off, it never comes and just pushes you off the cliff. It starts just one compromise at a time. One compromise at a time. And we've seen that in the church, where the church used to have a firm line and said, this is what we believe. And this is right, this is wrong. And that's what the church was built on. You know, of love, but if something is wrong, then we lovingly confront it. But now the church has become, oh, we need to be more like the culture so we can attract people in. Well, if we're exactly like the culture, why do we need the church? What would be better served here? Put some pins here and have a bowling alley. Or something else. Just close up shop. Don't have a church anymore. Don't worship God, because, you know, these things are so outdated. That's what the world is saying. And it's just what led the church to that point where it's okay for us to same-sex marriage, same-sex union, to say, like, I know you guys are having sex all the time. Just go out and have sex, and you're welcome. Well, listen, if you're out there having sex, you are welcome. If you are out there sinning, you are welcome. If you're out there drunk and everything else, you are welcome. That's who Jesus is calling in, but he's calling us to something much, much better than what the world is telling us. You will never be satisfied following the truths of the world because they change. Galatians, Paul says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That's why when you do something wrong, you know it. Because you have the spirit of truth in you. But if you keep compromising one step at a time, you're going to push the spirit down and down and down till you no longer feel the spirit. You may feel it, but it comes to the point where you don't care. Proverbs says this, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it? You know what? He's calculating all the time what I can do, how I can get you, how I can trap you. And he's saying, like, look, eat and drink, but he's not even caring about you. He's just leading you off of the path. He's leading you away from the truth. A.W. Tozer says this, where does Christianity destroy itself in a given generation? It destroys itself by not living in the light, by professing a truth that it doesn't obey. Yes, I love God. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love others like I love myself, but I don't live that way. We profess it, but we don't live it. The biggest danger to the church is not these false religions, New Age, the crystals, all of these things. It's not that. It's not even atheism, where people want to actually debate and engage you in conversation. The church's biggest enemy is compromise. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just get along? No. Can't you and your brother or sister just get along? No. Can't you get along with your neighbor who says your fence is a little bit on his property, so he gets up every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock and starts cranking up that blower and blowing the leaves back in your yard? Can we just get along? No, because we're human. William Graham Scroggie says this, light and darkness, right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error are incompatibles. When they are compromised, it is the light, the right, the good, and the truth that are damaged. Do you get that? in premarital counseling, oftentimes I will meet with a couple and we will talk about, okay, you know, you guys met, why even get married? Because in today's society, they're saying, you don't even have to get married. Just live with each other. Do whatever you want, right? So why do you want to get married? We love each other. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, we dated for a while, so I guess it's time we got married. Why? What about this institution, this covenant you're about to make with this person? You know, well, we just think it's the right thing. Okay, fine. Let's move on from there. What about church? Well, you know what? I go to church, but she doesn't. But that's okay because I told her she could, you know, that he could go to church, right? And then what happens is the hope is that, oh, well, she'll start going because he's going. But that's not what happens. What ends up happening is he quits going so they could spend time at home together. It's always the light, the right, the good that is compromised away from itself. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, hey, you're going to obey my commands. You're going to do what I ask you to do. That's how you show your love to me. The church shouldn't reflect or imitate the world, but rather we should lovingly confront it. And that doesn't mean we stand up and we just start punching people. Love Jesus. Love Jesus or else. What do you mean you're doing that? Get out of here. You know? You ever met those kind of Christians? I have. When you come in the door and they tell you this, they say like, oh, you know what? You know, you're a person of color. You come into the church and the first thing they say to you with a smile, hey, welcome today, but did you know there's a black church down the road? What? Go find Jesus somewhere else. That's what the church is basically saying. Or, you know what? We're glad you're here today, but next time could you dress a little more appropriately? Go find Jesus somewhere else. And Jesus is just grieved. We're in a battle. Understand that. We're in a battle. But we're not in a battle with these people. We're in a battle with the spiritual forces of evil. We're battling the truth of culture in the world against the truth of the gospel. We're not battling people. Jesus didn't come to die for these rules. Jesus came to die for people. And so that's why he's so important. He says, look, love God, but you have to love others. And if you love others, you're not going to let them go down a slippery slope. So we lovingly confront them like we do our children. Romans 5, Paul says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And then that all takes us back to John chapter 14. And let's finish that out, verse 19, and I'm going to start in the second half of that. He says this, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, there it goes. Whoever has my commandments, whoever has my teachings, whoever says those things and does those things and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That's how you know, do I love Jesus? If you obey his commands, what are his commands? First off, obey my commands. That's what he says. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Second thing, what does he say? Love God. Love others. Love one another. He tells us to pray for our enemies. He tells us to repent. He tells us to believe in me. He says, take up your cross and follow me. He says, go into the world and make disciples, teaching them what I have taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said we should pray always. Those are his commands. And if we follow his commands, then we show that we love him. If we love him. He looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know I do. And he says, then go and feed my sheep. He looked at the rich young ruler, and it says the rich young ruler fell at his feet and said, you know, I love you. And it even says Jesus looked at him and loved him. He says, what can I do for you? And he says, I want to live forever. Tell me what to do, teacher, rabbi, master. And he says, keep all my commandments. He goes, I've done that since the day I was born. He says, okay, there's one thing you lack. Here's what I need you to do. You're rich. I know it. Go and sell everything you have and give all that money to the poor. If you love me. In other words, that wealth that you have there is nothing compared to the wealth that I can give you that is waiting for you if you will follow me. And it says he went away sad. There were some people that he healed, and his command was, go and tell no one because my time hasn't come yet. And what did they do? They went and spread it out to everybody. You ever know those people that you say, like, look, please don't tell anybody, but this is what's going on. Then all of a sudden you start getting phone calls from people telling you, oh, I'm so sorry this is going. Where did you hear that? Well, I heard it from so-and-so. And you're thinking, I never told so-and-so. So you call them. Well, they heard it from so-and-so. And all of a sudden it goes around, and eventually it comes back to the person you said, please don't tell anybody. What is God telling you? What is Jesus saying to you? And he's saying, you know what? Do this to show that you love me. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you that in his love for us, he has commanded us to love him. And in order to do that, Father, we need to follow his teaching, to follow his commandments, to follow his truths. Father, help us to be aware and be able to discern the false truths from the culture and from the world around us. And Father, help us to put our faith not in this world, not in society, not in culture, but Father, to put our faith and our trust and our hope in you and in you alone. For that, Father, is the greatest commandment, to love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. We do all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.